This is the Jefferson Exchange on JPR, and if you're looking for indicators of overall environmental health, fish seem to work pretty well. The lack of certain kinds of fish can indicate problems in an ecosystem. We'll focus on California's summer steelhead in this discussion, steelhead being ocean-going rainbow trout. They go back upriver to spawn, just like salmon. And summer steelhead in California have been in short supply, short enough to cause concern among fish managers and conservation groups. The group Friends of the Eel River is one of several pushing for state protection for summer steelhead under the California Endangered Species Act. The Fish and Game Commission recently agreed. And with details, we are joined now by Scott Greeson, the conservation director at Friends of the Eel River. Thank you for joining us, Scott.
Good morning, Jeff. Happy Juneteenth.
Good to have you. So what was it that the Fish and Game Commission voted on last week?
They voted on a petition that Friends of the Eel brought to them to list Northern California summer steelhead, which is a particular geographic subset, as endangered under the California Endangered Species Act. And the commission wound up voting unanimously to approve moving forward with that listing, which basically means at this point that the commission has decided to extend protections to Northern California summer steelhead, but they're going to go ahead and do what's called a status review over at least the next year, probably a little longer, before they ultimately finalize that listing.
So why don't you give us a status report so far? I mean, you wouldn't be pushing for this if you weren't already concerned about summer steelhead.
Yeah, we're gravely concerned about summer steelhead across California. And basically what we're talking about there is fish in the northwestern quadrant of California that are the Northern California summer steelhead we're petitioning for, and then also the population in the Klamath Mountains, so between us here on the coast and you guys up there in Ashland. The Klamath Mountains also have a population of summer steelhead that's in about the same condition for about the same reasons. And basically what we're talking about here are fish who, unlike winter steelhead, which come into freshwater in fall, summer steelhead are programmed genetically to enter our rivers at the end of spring, early summer. They come up freshwater as far as they can, hold out in cold pools, and then when the fall rains come, they go up to the very top of the watersheds. They're really extraordinary fish, but because they spend a lot of time in freshwater, both as adults and, it turns out, as juveniles, they're even more vulnerable to the kind of impacts we have on watersheds than the winter-run fish are. What we've recently learned is that genetics basically confirms what fishermen and native peoples have long known, which is that the summer fish are really fundamentally different from the winter fish in an important way. And frankly, our big concern is that if we don't maintain populations, that is, numbers of fish large enough to sustain themselves, of the summer-run steelhead, we'll lose the gene, the actual genetic information that allows them to exist. And previously, fish managers had thought, well, if we can hold on to winter steelhead, summer steelhead can reemerge from them. The genetics that have come out in the last few years say that that's not the case. If we lose summer steelhead populations, we will lose summer steelhead, period. And with it, an important part of steelhead's adaptability, what scientists call their plasticity, their ability to respond to different environments.
I'm glad you brought up this point, because that was my next question was, people are probably going to come back and say, well, you still got the winter steelhead, and you're saying, you can't turn winter steelhead into summer steelhead.
Well, you can, it turns out, but you need an evolutionary event. You need a mutation. And part of what the science is showing is that that has happened once in the history of steelhead and once in the history of Chinook. So it's very unlikely to happen again in the near future. It's just a really important point that steelhead they're actually a part of the salmon family. But they're an incredibly diverse kind of fish. As you said at the outset, steelhead are by definition rainbow trout that go to salt water and then come back. They're anadromous. What a lot of folks don't really understand is that steelhead can be rainbow trout in one generation, go to the ocean, come back, and then their progeny can be rainbow trout in freshwater again, or they can go back out again.
Will actually stay in freshwater, you're saying?
Yeah. And so just to fast forward the story a little bit more, one of our big concerns at Friends of the Eel River, and really our central mission, is trying to free the eel from a couple of dams on the upper main stem eel. We're now at a point where it's becoming increasingly possible that we are going to be able to remove Scott Dam, a structure that was built in 1920. And when that dam was built, the summer steelhead run that went up the upper main stem eel disappeared. So it's been gone for a century. But researchers at UC Davis who found the gene that drives the summer steelhead life history have now identified that gene in rainbow trout above the reservoir above Scott Dam, which is to say they found the fish exactly where we'd expect summer steelhead to be, at the very top of the watershed. And it's very likely that if we remove Scott Dam, we can restore the access to the sea that those fish need to get back to being summer steelhead.
We are talking with Scott Grease, the conservation director at Friends of the Eel River, about a proposed listing for the Northern California summer steelhead under the State Endangered Species Act. The California Fish and Game Commission voted to move ahead with that proposal to do some status review over the course of the next year or so. You can join the conversation on the Jefferson Exchange about this fish, about fish and rivers and dams generally, if you'd like. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So obviously the Eel River is a major river of concern. What are some of the others that are of major concern about summer steelhead runs?
Well, the Northern California summer steelhead, it's called a distinct population segment, the management unit that's been defined by federal biologists and that we're using in the state listing as well, runs from Redwood Creek, which comes to the Pacific roughly at Oreck on the north, down to the Mattol River on the south. Now, if you look at a map of northwestern California, you'll see that the Eel River watershed actually goes quite a bit further south than the Mattol watershed goes. But when you talk about where the rivers enter the Pacific, it's, you know, Redwood Creek to the Mattol. The Eel's in the middle of that. But the other big river that's part of that picture is the Mad River. But if you put all of that together, the Eel River with its five major tributaries is kind of the core of that Northern California summer steelhead population. And we probably have most of the summer steelhead that remain in the Middle Fork of the Eel and the Van Dusen, its northernmost tributary.
So how long has your group been pushing for action, Scott?
Well, we've been pushing to get Take Scott Dam out for about 20 years, but we've been working on summer steelhead for the last few years. We've also submitted a listing petition to the National Marine Fisheries Service, the federal agency that's in charge of these fish. And basically what we did there was ask the agency to recognize the science that shows that summer steelhead are really different from winter steelhead and to split the current listing that says winter and summer steelhead are treated as the same population. And basically what we're saying to NIMS there is you need to treat summer steelhead as, you know, as special fish, as the extraordinary fish they are, because otherwise we're likely to lose them in the near future. Current management does not appear to be adequate to protect them.
NIMFs, of course, being the National Marine Fisheries Service, or NOAA,
right.
Fisheries,
right.
Alternate versions of the same agency by name. So why not a federal listing being sought here? Has this been,
we are asking for that. We have sought that, and that status review is underway now. And actually, There's a deadline this Friday for comments to the National Marine Fisheries Service about that proposed separate listing for summer steelhead, the separate federal listing. So we're doing both, actually.
If the federal listing comes through, will the California Fish and Game Commission back off the State Endangered Species Act listing?
No, I don't think so, nor should it.
So you do want to have both?
Yeah, we want to have both, and we want to have full engagement from both state and federal authorities because, frankly, we need all the help we can get here. We need attention to protecting the fish's habitat, but we also need to get some people on the ground doing the work of figuring out where these fish are and trying to help them hang on and rebuild their populations.
So for the people who want to see a bigger picture, what advantage do summer steelhead provide to an ecosystem? What sorts of things come from, get consumed by, do consume summer steelhead that makes them important to where they live?
Well, to be frank, that the ecological relationship that summer steelhead have with the watershed is probably about the same as the winter steelhead in terms of what eats them. And the answer to that is everything that can, literally deer, you know, things that we think of as herbivores will eat salmon and steelhead when they get a chance. Really, the steelhead, like coho, like chinook, are part of a sort of biological mechanism that brings marine nutrients from the Pacific up onto shore and into our forests. And one of the profound understandings we've come to in the last 30 years or so is that without those mechanisms, those ways of bringing the marine nutrients up and into our forests, we wouldn't have the tremendous forests we have. They really need those nutrients. So salmon are a key part of that. Back to the question of what's special about summer steelhead, I think the answer really goes back to that question of steelhead's plasticity, of their range of behaviors. So we're all familiar with this idea that, you know, salmon come up and they're ready to spawn, they spawn and then they die. Steelhead don't necessarily do that. They spawn and go back, and then they come back and spawn again. Also, they have this freshwater form, the rainbow trout. So a lot of what summer steelhead are is the sort of extreme expression of the potential of, frankly, salmonids writ large. They're the fish that go furthest up their watersheds. They're fish that jump barriers that, you know, frankly, seem completely impassable to humans looking at the fish. We're like, how do you get above that? But then we find the fish above those rocks.
They can do it.
Yeah. And they, you know, they manage to get into these incredibly remote cracks in the earth, these deep canyons high up in these watersheds, and, you know, really exploit places that other fish don't get to. And that is an important part of keeping salmon, you know, and steelhead alive, and is, you know, just having the ability to live in different environments and to, you know, to come back at different times of the year. It's really interesting. If you look at both summer steelhead and spring chinook, which are another example of what scientists call the premature migrants, fish that migrate before they're sexually mature, so they're bright silver when they come into fresh water. The evidence seems to be that these premature fish, the spring chinook, the summer steelhead, were actually far more abundant prior to European contact and may well have been the most abundant forms of their species in rivers like the Klamath, rivers like the Eel. So it seems that the premature migration life history, as scientists would call it, actually confers a real competitive advantage under, you know, sort of natural conditions before we started really altering ecosystems. But when we really disrupt ecosystems with substantial road building, with very intensive fishing operations, with heavy logging through the 20th century, those impacts fell disproportionately on the fish that spend more time in fresh water.
Oh, I see the point now, yeah. Scott Greeson at Friends of the Eel River, about 2 minutes left here. How are things going with the Scott Dam? PG&E has pretty much walked away from the project and doesn't want to relicense it, is that right?
That's right. They have withdrawn their effort to relicense the dam, which now creates a situation where the group that has been assembled by Representative Jared Huffman, his ad hoc working group, is basically preparing to submit a bid, a joint proposal to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to basically try to get a consensus proposal put together that could result in removal of Scott Dam in exchange for continued diversion of water from the Eel Basin to the Russian River. And what we're hoping to do is shift that diversion that currently happens through the year, but mostly in the summer. We want to shift that to a winter-only diversion, try to store the water on the Russian River side and restore fish passage back to those headwater streams. And frankly, I think we are now a great deal closer to that end game than we've been in the last 20 years. It's been a bit of a rocky ride the last year or so as PG&E's attempt to relicense ran into first its bankruptcy and a series of other sort of missteps.
Some real setbacks for PG&E, but that present themselves as a potential advantage to the Friends of the Eel River and the Summer Steelhead. So, again, the status review for the state listing will take about a year, maybe more, and then the federal listing need comments by June 21st. I see this Friday.
That's right.
All right, Scott Greeson is the conservation director for Friends of the Eel River. Thanks so much for joining us with the comprehensive knowledge you have of the Eel River and the Summer Steelhead.
Thank you, Jeff.
Take it easy. That'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. We'll stay on natural resources and species as we talk in hour two about evolution and creativity. That's coming up.